Thank you, Steve. All right, so you may be seated. We have all the teens are back from their ski trip, so I don't know, Pastor Doug, you want to come up and introduce them, or do you want to, how we do it? But we're going to turn it all over to them tonight. So let's hear it for the teens.
Okay, thank you. We had a great time. Any of the negativity you hear about pushing people skiing or anything like that, disregard that comes next. It's a lie. So anyway, we had a great time, and we went to the about the nicest camp we've ever been to. It was, you know, clean, warm, dry. You know, people have weddings there. Was that nice and picturesque? It was really good. We had a great time there. And so I don't want to steal things from it. I'd asked each one of these guys to share a verse and give a testimony. We had a small crew that traveled, but we were a special forces crew. So leading off is Sergeant Stephen.
All right. Hi, everyone. So let me just pull up the verse here I got. So I think it was yesterday, or today, it was actually this morning. Time is just crazy now. I had a message about Pastor Pete on Psalms 8. It was 3. And it's, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. So yeah, that verse really stuck to me because it's just the whole idea that, like, when you look up to the sky and you see all the stars and all of creation, you just, like, it's an awestruck wonder, like, really. When you look at that, it's like, oh my gosh, a God that created all this could look at me and think that I'm special and could look at me and think, like, hey, I love you enough that I could send my son to die for you. And I think that just that thought itself of having a God so powerful and so far above us still look down to us and think that like he's mindful of each one of our problems and like even our little things that we have, and that he has a plan for each one of us. I think that's just the message that I got most out of. All the messages were amazing though. We also had a few other messages that are really interesting, but this verse really stuck to me, especially the part where it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Because it's like when you think of who are we, like what are we in this grand scheme of things in the universe? We're just like not even a tiny speck of dust. We're like less than that when you compare it to like the infinite amount of space that there is and all the galaxies and stars. And like if God cares for each one of our problems, that's someone who loves unconditionally. Because how can there be the billions of people that there are on the earth that he looks down to each one of us and thinks of us as individuals? And so yeah, that stuck with me a lot. So yeah, now I'm gonna call up Joanna from Canada. Here she comes.
Such an introduction. Okay, well, mine wasn't a verse from this weekend, but it relates to this weekend. So the first message was from Pastor Love, and it was about continuing in your faith. And so I'm going to read from James 1, and I'm going to read... Okay, I'm going to read 3 and 5, because 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, so you continue in your faith, and it works patience. And 5, it says, 4. Beloved, patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So if you continue in your faith, you have patience, and then you want nothing at the end. So that's it. Short and sweet. So, scary word.
All right, so same thing as her. I didn't get to. There was so much going on. I brought my Bible. I nearly forgot it when I left, but I forgot it when I went to go to the meeting 3 times. So I didn't really get to get anything down. But I had another verse that wasn't in our message at all. But it was just something that's been on my mind for a long time.
We talked about it in teen group once or twice. Well, actually, once technically, but sure, talked about it more than that. But really, we talked about the whole continuing thing. Right now, I'm in the struggle of, I have two colleges that I want to go to. One of them being a school in Ohio. And that's just for my main career, what I want to do, something I've always wanted to do since I was younger. And it's going to do, like high performance, like mechanics on race cars and stuff like that. And, you know, something cool. And I got accepted, but, and then I had another opportunity that came to me about the start of the end of the summer. I was playing pool with, you know, a couple of kids from this church. And for some odd reason, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, back in my head, I just hear, Jeremiah, go to Bible college. I'm like, what? What do you mean? All my life, I wanted to do this. I'm definitely repeating something that somebody said before, but, you know, it's just, you think you're going to go on this great path, and you're going to do it all the way, it's going to be perfect, you know, you have a set plan, you know. Because God has a plan for you, He'll show you. Again, continuing with what you said with the grace, you know, it matters, you know, who you hang out with, you know, what the decisions you make, it does matter. But it's not necessarily the main thing that matters for you. The main thing that you need in order to continue and go through life is God's grace. And I definitely saw that. We talked about that, I believe it was the first night. But, yeah, no, so, you know, I thought about life itself. I think about it as, it's almost like a circle. We think we're going in a straight line. We know where we're supposed to go. Every time. No matter what it is. You could be following God for the rest of your life. You know. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm gonna do this. Oh, maybe not. And then, you're going down the way, you're going in a straight line, and you're like, oh, okay, and something happens, it's starting to turn, comes around, becomes a circle. And every time in the end, at the very start, reach that. God's there. And, you know, I just really thought about that, but my main verse is, Romans 8, verse 25, 26. It's for who hopes for what he sees, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I don't know if some of you can see that really stuck with me for a while. It's definitely deep. But again, I see a path that I was going to go down. I don't know if it's that. You know, I have 50-50 on either school, and it's still a gamble. But you know, I just don't know. I'm still waiting on what I'm supposed to do. Keep praying about it. Hopefully I'll get the answer, but, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what I'd be doing right now if I wasn't here, if I wasn't with this church. And, yeah, that's what I saw.
So everybody else kind of wimped out. I think they left. So yeah, we had a great weekend. Very small group of us. Usually we have like huge van full of kids, but we had a good time, I think. Just really quick Friday night. Pastor Love talked about continuing. And I think the great part was after the message, we all broke up into groups and the kids were able to talk to each other about what it meant, and that was really cool because everybody came up with like new things or their own versions of the message, which was really nice. And then on Saturday morning, which was yesterday, Pastor Doug spoke about having confidence, and how the world now, the younger crowd, they don't have that confidence to do a lot of things, how we should have confidence because we have God, you know, our confidence should be in God. So he did a great message on that. And then on yesterday we went skiing, which we were a little nervous about because there's no snow anywhere. So we're like, okay, hopefully there'll be snow in the mountain. We're getting close to the mountain. There's still no snow, but as you get up on the lift, there was snow. So that was good. We all had fun. I was stuck with these, I don't want to say stuck, but I had two girls from Baltimore that were skiers and they were beginners, and I'm a snowboarder, and they were left all there by themselves, and I'm like, okay, let's go up the mountain, and I'm like, thinking they can just come with me, and they're like, no, we've never skied before, and I'm like, oh! So we went on the bunny hill, and again, that was very difficult to do as a snowboarder. So I'd help one girl, and I'd look back, and she's a half down the hill, and it was a disaster. So luckily, Pastor Doug came and rescued me, and I left the poor two girls on the bunny slope, but they were good. They had a good time at the end. They were still alive and healthy. So what did we do last night? Now, last night, we were all so tired. We kind of all broke up and had our own little wraps. I took a shower. I went to bed. and then this morning was Pastor Pete, like I think Stephen was saying. He had the Psalms 8. It really touched me because he was, you know, we read the verse. He kind of spoke about it. But then he was saying, imagine being there at creation. Like there's nothing. And all of a sudden you hear this tree like growing, like you can hear it coming out of the earth and, you know, there it is. And the mountain, like you can hear it like grumbling and then like the mountain comes up and how like amazing that must have been, like to be there. Like I know nobody was there, but say it was on a DVR and we get to see it when we get to heaven, like how amazing that is. And I just, that thought was like really like, wow, you know, and then that was this morning. I feel like it was such a long weekend, but it wasn't. I'm exhausted. We had girls that were sick in our cabin, so I had like no sleep. But yeah, it was an awesome weekend. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cindy was awesome. You guys can.
So, Brady from Baltimore, I've met her before, she's another chaperone. I was in the cabin, you know, I came with our group, and so I was in bed by the time she settled down, whatever. I woke up and she's like, so what church are you from? I'm like, Marlboro. And then she's like, oh, how old are you, hon? I'm like, I'm Cheyenne's mom. So the whole weekend people thought I was a teenager. Wait. Even some of the teenage kids didn't know I was. So I just had to say that. I was very happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of people think I was a teenager. That's just because she acts immature. Nah. So Cindy's fantastic. Whoa. All right. So Cindy is awesome. She's fantastic. I don't even know how many years. How many years? It's hard for a teenager for that many years. 15 years or so. And she's just fantastic because I don't have to worry. We don't have to like plan what are we going to do. This is what's going to happen. This is where we're going to go. She knows. She knows, you know. I think the analogy I would use is a hockey analogy. If you have a good center, you know they're going to be in front of the net. You just get the puck out there. And she does that. She's excellent. Except for one area. So we were driving down Friday night and it's dark and we're going somewhere. We have no idea where we are. And we're traveling along. And of course, you know, kids want to stop continuously and do this and so forth. So I said, okay, look. We'll stop at a Dunkin' Donuts. We'll get some coffee. We'll be all set. This is good. Everyone's all right. Wow, this is awesome. So the navigator's got it. So we're going. She's like, no, here, here. And I pull in. We are in the middle of this national forest, which is about 45 miles long. And we pull into this parking lot. It was like the perfect thing for a teenager killing movie, you know? And everyone's like, what? You know? Okay, Cindy, great job. Dunkin' Donuts was it. So, and then we had a few other little detours, but it was very good. So what I wanted to, why we decided to come in here and why we want to come in here, and hopefully Amber isn't still running. she's awesome. She's awesome. And she got scared she was going to speak. She's just so sweet. And so the teenager will run her down later. Kids get touched. Life gets touched. We see people. And it's unbelievably encouraging for your heart. We have some really good young people in this ministry coming forward. And God is going to be faithful in all those areas. Trying to think which direction to go here. But this word continue, right? When you think of this word continue, how many faces do you see, and you see them year in, year out, and they walk with God? They were talking about, Pastor Love was talking about this group of ladies that are in their, I think the youngest one was 68 and the oldest one was 86. And they have been around since the beginning. And they continue. And God just changes a little bit what they do or what they don't do, but their fervor has never stopped. Right? Has never stopped. And, it's funny because he used the illustration that he was in the back and they had turning the lights down, I guess, in the beginning of service or something like that. And so a couple ladies in the front row before were complaining they couldn't see. And this lady who's 86 said, just shut up and listen. Right? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. Just listen, right? But just not letting something in, right? We don't let something in. We don't let that little difference come into our life. We don't let that little thing come. They use the example of a preference, right? What can be? So, if we say, hey, we want you to speak with a tie, someone can be like, whoa, well, I don't want to speak with a tie. I want to do this tie. You know, and really? You would put on probation your walk with God in a body of Christ because someone asked you to wear a tie? Right? You think about it. The things that's what always takes people out is the little things. Right? It's the little things. And really it was a great message. And then we had a great time skiing. Like Cindy said, I was like, this is going to be awful. You know, and they had a lot of snow. It was a lot of fun, a lot of kids. The other thing that Cindy didn't mention is that we went over to rescue her. So we said, okay, so now, we got to go up the Bunny Hill slope, right? It's a conveyor belt, right? You stand on a conveyor belt and you go up the hill. It's like the most humiliating thing in the world. If anyone ever sees you, like, ha, Bunny Hill, Bunny Hill. So I'm standing there. Okay, this is bad enough. But she slides backwards, and she's taking out the whole row of us, pushing me. And then we get 45 minutes to go 35 yards. I could have walked it 300 times in the boots. So who's the other one? Is Bree from our church. Bree is tangled in amongst all these kids and messed up. It's like, this thing just keeps going. So someone falls, it just keeps packing people up, right? But Cindy kept, and then would start and she would slide back and then knock me back again. So it was, she was very teenish. So, but it was funny, but I did not want to fall and become part of that because, like everyone else, I would never hear the end of it. So I just wanted to share this thought of confidence, right? What do we have confidence in? Right? What is it that we are comfortable in ourselves with? What is it that we have that we trust in our life? And if we don't have Philippians 1:6, right? We have confidence in this one thing, that He is faithful to finish what He starts. He's not going to walk away. He's never going to give us up. He's never going to turn away. Hebrews 2:3, we can trust in Him. And Proverbs 3:5, but what is this Proverbs 3:5 say? It says, lean not on your own understanding, right? Isn't that the whole pressure of this world? Isn't Satan's entire plan, our own self nature, and all these different areas, what is it that is he wants us to do? He wants us to take our eyes off of Christ and put them into our own understanding. Put them into a place where we're looking and we see, and this is what I think, because once I get there, I have put myself in his arena, right? In the arena of human understanding. And I will never win in the arena of human understanding. Because void of the Word of God, nothing makes sense. Right? And we can all have an opinion, we can all have a purpose, we can all think we're right, but it all leads to nothing but confusion in reality, if you think about it. But the Word of God is true. And in John 16:33, he says, I have overcome the world. I have taken care of that. What is my confidence in? You think about it. I remember when I was in high school and I just started my freshman year and I would go to school, and there was this kid called, his name was Pellegrini, and he was a punk, and he would give me a hard time, and then I would beat him up. And then every next morning, I would be at the bus, and the car would pull up, and his older brother would get out and beat me up. And then the next day, the punk would give it to me again, and I couldn't learn, so I would do that, and it would just go on. And you know that he had confidence in giving me a hard time, because he knew he'd get beat up, and he knew I'd get beat up. Right? There was a confidence that he had in his brother. There's a confidence in that. But you know what? When we learn to have a confidence in Christ, it goes so far beyond. It's so incredible. You know, we have people that are very good at wit. Their wit is very good, and their confidence in their wit, I can get out of a situation. I can do it. Maybe somebody else is a comedian, and they can work their way through every situation by laughing their way through. But really, what's the inside? What's the emptiness? I use the example with the kids is that in my company, I have just in this last year finally gotten myself to a place where I have a guy who's doing my work. And he's doing my work, and he's doing an awesome job. And I'm like, whoa, it's just time to now. My dream is going to come true. I'll have a real company making money, and it won't take my sweat every second and my worry. And so last week, he said, I can't do this anymore. I'm burnt. And I said, that is wonderful. Isn't that great, right? Isn't that great? And in my own self, I'm having a crisis inside my heart. And I'm being wide open to you. I have no idea how I will get through this. I have no idea how it's going to happen. I have all this work, and this guy was taking care of so much. I don't know what to do. But I have confidence in this one thing, that he is faithful to do this. So as those anxieties want to flare up, I answer them with the mind of Christ and say, no, I belong to him. He is greater than me, than who is in the world. He has loved me from the beginning. He laid his life down for me. He has shown me that I can trust in him, and my confidence is fulfilled. And then my soul is quieted. But isn't it amazing that it doesn't take long before it bubbles up again. Oh, Monday's coming. Right? Monday's coming. What are you going to do? God is great. We had this little guy come with us. His name is Kyle. He's never really heard much of the gospel except from me. His parents have a house next to us in New Hampshire. He's just turned 14. But in the morning at the lake, I get up to sit on the dock and have a cup of coffee, and he's right there. What are we doing today? All right, what's up with today, Doc? What are we going to do? But you know something? He's such a sincere young man. And so, of course, we always include. And what's funny is we include him. And then there's his dad. All right, come on. And his mom. Oh, come on. So we now have them going all the place with us. But you know what? What are we here for? What are we here for? And so they are scared to death of religion. They're scared to death of God. What is he? What is this? What is this? But you know what? They trust Beth and I. Right? And Kyle says, do you think you could go? I said, yeah, please come with us. So he heard the gospel all weekend long. He walked with these amazing kids who made him feel so welcome. They're unbelievable. They really are. They're just incredible. And, he's texting his mom home as they were waiting for him when he came here. You know, amazing time, incredible time. But I know when he's laying there, not tonight. Tonight he'll be comatose. But tomorrow night he's going to think on these things. Right? He's going to think on these things. And that one young man is worth more than this world. Right? When we are thinking with God and have confidence with God, the thing that's important dwarfs the things that worry us. Right? So many people, so hard relationships, so hard lives, so difficult times. Kids grow up and it's so hard. And I talk with them and my heart just like rips apart. Like, wow. But you know what? The answer for them is always the same. I don't know anything, but I know him. And he never fails. Christ never fails. And I'm confident in it. I'm confident. And I watch it, and I see it, and it's incredible. And you know what? I don't care if Jeremiah goes to Bible college or he goes to performance school. That's between God and him. I know what is great for him, and I encourage him what? To hear from God, not from me. But the fact that this young man is considering that is incredible. Right? Sitting next to him, you can turn around and look at her because you get nervous. This girl is the sweetest thing, Amber. So No. I did that for one reason, because you know something? She is absolutely, you're not going anywhere, I'm not asking you to come up here. But I wanted you to know that here's this young lady, and she's gotten a hold of God, and she's here on Wednesday nights at service. She's here upstairs. She's here at church. She's so incredible. She is such an uplifting person. It's unbelievable. And she's also a phenomenal pitcher in softball. I'm saying all this because I know she's going to be famous, and I just wanted to make it. But, you know, it's awesome. We get this opportunity, and I don't know. I think I've said enough, but greater love has no man than to lay his life down. Right? That's how our relationship starts with Christ. That's where it begins. That's where the meat of it is. And from that point forward, we are living in the glorious promises of God. And then we have an enemy who wants to try and accuse him and say those promises are not ours. To take our eyes off of those promises. Right? But we have the opportunity to say, I know in whom I believe. I know him in whom I trust. And I know who will never forsake me.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you all. Really. And we'll be praying for this crew. I mean, you guys are all, next year you have big things coming up, right? Woo! So pray for these guys as they go on, right? Steve, you going to Bible college? Steve's going to Baltimore, he's going to Bible college. Jeremiah, we're not sure. We're not sure, but we know that God has a plan, right? God has a plan. And then Amber, he's going to be in the big leagues, striking them out. Still be in high school. That's what I meant. The high school big leagues. Striking them out. So we'll be praying. Thank you, guys. And the other teenager also, Cindy. Great. But, yeah, hallelujah. What a great thing. It's a great message. Confidence in God. Do we have confidence in God? And I don't want to say anything, really. I do, but I don't. And we spoke from John chapter 4 this morning and made our way through a lot. I'll be honest, I didn't know what was going on. I had so much I wanted to say. And I was watching the clock. I said, oh my gosh, I have 30 minutes to say all this. So, but the fact of God, the way God deals with us, the way God communicates to us, the way that He comes down and He meets us at a time that we need Him, right? And He speaks to us, and He draws us into fellowship with Him, and He's not afraid to address the big issues in my life, right? We said that this morning when this woman was brought to the point where she said, yes, give me this water. Give me this living water. And Jesus says, okay, go call your husband. And we said she turned into an armadillo. She rolled into an armor-plated ball and said, whoa, 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 we're not going there. We're not talking about it. And we have the ability to put up these facades around us. And we could say these are like our religious facades, these little presentations of the way we think we want people to perceive us, right? I'm doing good. How many people have you talked to in the back of church said, how you doing? I'm doing great. Doing great. But in reality, maybe you're saying, ah! I don't know. Well, I understand, right? Maybe we don't want to get into it, and maybe there's not time to and the setting and all that stuff. But Christ comes to us and He says, hey, how's it going? And we say, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Oh, I'm doing great. And then He says, go call your insecurity and bring it here. And we're like, oh, I don't want to deal with that, though. I don't want to talk about that. And He says, no, bring it. And we have the idea that when we bring our sin to God, He's shocked. And that He would change His mind. Imagine if that was the case. Where God says, go ahead, just bring all your stuff. Bring all your baggage, bring all your things to me. And we bring Him this big old duffel hockey bag full of stuff. And then we got four more behind us. And we say, here it is. And He goes, whoa. Oh, I didn't realize you were like that. Oh, I'm going to have to revisit this plan here. I'm going to have to recalibrate my mission here on earth. We bring it in fear, and we put up the little facades around us so nobody can get to the reality of how we're doing. And we're even that way with God. Where we say, God, I'm going to sing. I'm going to lift my hands and worship. I'm going to do all the things, but I'm going to kind of hold back a little bit. And she says to Him, I don't have a husband. That was her answer. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Simple sentence, right? True, in a sense, that at that point she didn't have a husband. And Christ says, you're right. You're true in saying this. You've had five husbands, and the one that you're with, you're not married to. And then she says, oh. But when Christ meets us at this point, this is where our confidence in Christ grows. Because we meet Him there in our brokenness with all of our depravity, and we're there holding the hockey bag, and we say, this is who I am, right? The walls are all down. This is who I am. And He says, hallelujah. I love you, I love you. I have a purpose for you. I have greater things for you. Living water for you. Living water. Right? That you're no longer defined by your failure. You're no longer operating in shame, but you now have freedom in me. And when we meet him that way and we overcome things, right? Have you heard of anyone talk about the victorious Christian life? The victorious Christian life. And you can say, I wish I could experience that someday. I feel like I'm living the retread Christian life, the beat down Christian life. No. No, but it's not, because we meet Christ and we say, Lord, I'm broken. I have all of these things. And he says, that's not an issue. The issue is me, that I am your resource now. I am your well. I am the thing that you depend on. And I think of you this way. I think of you this way. And he draws a picture of us and he describes us as saints, as children of God, as eternal, seated in eternal places, blessed with every spiritual blessing, complete in Christ, able to seek the things that are above. Can you think about that for 1 second, right? Colossians 3, we talk about that. Seek those things which are above. And we say, okay, yeah. But think about God has put in you the ability and the desire to seek those things that are above. But then we say, okay, I have this desire to seek things above, but I find that there is something holding me back. That I know something of myself that won't allow me to seek things above. I feel like I'm not worthy. I'm not allowed to. My facade is broken. Somebody poked a hole in the window and they see who I really am. Therefore, I can't be. But then Christ comes in. He just kicks down all the walls and he says, none of this matters. And he stands there and he shows us his hands and his feet. And he gives us the confidence of the resurrection. And he says, this is why you can seek the things above. Yes, you have something in you that wants those things, but now you can because of what I've done. So, Christ's answer to us when we have our problems is the thing that gives us confidence in him. I don't always know how to navigate these things of life. I don't have an answer for it. And like Pastor Doug was candid right there. Wasn't that beautiful? We're going to pray for Womble Plumbing and Heating. But like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But God meets us in that, and he gives us confidence in it. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above than we could ask or think. Imagine that. A lot of times we present God with the options. We say, okay, God, here's my business, right? Here's my, you know, good, better, best. Please pick this one. I'll be okay if you pick this one. I'll survive if you pick this one. Right? And he says, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what you could ask or even think. So will you trust me? And we say, that's terrifying. I'd like to trust myself. And he says, do you trust me? And we say, okay. And we take a step of faith with him. And we are fed from a well that he has given us access to. And it's himself. And there's amazing life in it. So what a joy it is to be with a group of people who are on the move with God. Hearing from God, right? Hearing from God. Well, the big decisions in my life are presented before God and I'm waiting for him to hear. What an amazing idea. And then we have all of our things that are before him and we come in here and worship. We come to hear. What I love about the testimonies that we hear is that we realize we're not alone. Right? We realize that we're not the only ones faced with a challenge or with a difficulty or with something. And we pray for each other and then we're encouraged in the fact that other people are praying for us. So, hallelujah. The whole team, the whole youth team, come on up. Amber, you can stand in the back. You can stand behind everybody. Yeah. This is a fraction of the youth ministry, right? But, so isn't this a good picture? Keep them all in your prayers. Everybody, the Pastor Doug and Beth, right? Leader, Pastor Doug and Beth, youth pastor, Chris and Cindy, Carlos and Melissa, helping out. And then, so let's just pray for what is facing these guys and the decisions they have to make and, that God would give wisdom. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this team ministry. And we just, ask that this weekend would be burned in their hearts. That there would be an impression of your faithfulness, of your power, of your victory at the cross. And just pray for every decision that's ahead of them, high school, college, relationships, work, everything, Lord. We give it to you, and we ask that you would speak to them personally, and they would know surely that it's you, God. Thank you. Bless the leadership and the vision of the youth ministry and the call that's on the lives of these people who are to serve and to give. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.